Good evening and greetings in Jesus' name to all of you tonight. It's good to see all of you here, and especially on behalf of the four young people who in just a few minutes will be baptized. It's special to them, and when people come together, when God's people come together, to rejoice with those who are being baptized, that is really special. And so we're grateful for your presence tonight as we move into the ordinance of baptism. Just thinking about what will happen here tonight and to the four of you. Baptism is something that was not dreamt up by me or by any other human being, but was demonstrated first and foremost by our Lord. And Scripture teaches us that when His time was ready, He went out into the wilderness or to the river where John the Baptist was baptizing others, and He Himself received baptism. Our Savior, Jesus, was baptized. And then towards the last part of His time here on earth, He spoke to His disciples or His followers, and He said these words. He said, "All power is given to me in heaven and in earth." And then He goes on to give the Great Commission. In that Great Commission, He says, He said to them, and then in extension to us, "Go ye therefore into all the world and teach them, and then baptize them." And so we're commanded to baptize. There is a connection with baptism and church membership. We have those pictures in Acts when the early church was being formed right at Pentecost. You recall the account there where that day when the fire, the tongues of flame came down on those who were gathered together. And then shortly after that, Peter preached a great message, a message that pricked the hearts of those who were listening. And those people said, "What do we need to do to be saved?" And he said, "Repent and be baptized." And it says right after that, that there were thousands added to the church. Daily, there were those that were born again and converted and then baptized and added to the church. And so tonight, that's what we intend to do. We intend to follow our Lord's command to baptize those who have been converted and who have repented from their sins and who wish to follow Him with their lives. The ceremony or the ordinance of baptism for you four, for all of us tonight, is a public expression of your faith. It's a public expression of your faith. And I just want to say this to you four, to all of us. There is no such thing as a private faith. There is no such thing as a private faith. We are called to be public about who we serve. Your faith is to be a public faith. And so your demonstration tonight, you're going to be coming forward and receiving a baptism of water that is demonstrating publicly tonight that you have faith in Jesus Christ and the work of Calvary for your salvation. And you're demonstrating that in a public way. But that public demonstration continues throughout your life. It's not something that you hide, but you express that in your witness as you live publicly among other people. The second point I just want to make here this evening for us is that this is not a washing. This water does not do anything mysterious to us. The water is not holy water, it's just tap water. But it is symbolic of the washing the cleansing, and it's also symbolic of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on you. It's an answer of a clear conscience before the Lord. You have been cleansed on the inside, and so it's a demonstration of that. As we pour the water this evening, it is a demonstration of an inward cleansing that has happened already, okay? The third thing that I'd just like to affirm tonight is that the church's responsibility tonight. So we have four young people who have, this morning they gave public testimony to their conversion and their desire to walk faithfully with their Lord. But we as a congregation, a local church here, Sandy Ridge, we are also affirming that we have observed their lives in demonstration of what they said this morning. So what, it's not just them tonight, it's also the church. We affirm their faith by coming together and supporting them. Now that happens tonight, that happens tomorrow, that happens next week, and that happens as long as they are part of us here. It's a continual process where we affirm each other in our faith. And so the church plays a vital role in affirming those who are being baptized. It's their union with Christ, and we agree with their testimony this morning. And so those are things that I'd like for us to think about as we move into the ordinance of baptism. We spent some time with these young people. I was gonna figure out how long it was, and maybe you remember better than I do, but I think it's been just over a year that we have spent with you in instruction class, and some will say, well, that's a pretty long time. Well, the reality is we didn't meet every Sunday because there's conflicts in schedules, but we spent a considerable time going through a series of lessons, teaching them different aspects of the Christian life and the aspects of the church, what it means to be a member at Sandy Ridge and their responsibilities here. During that time, the church has had opportunity to observe these young people, and they give consent, like I said just a little bit ago. They give consent, an affirmation to what they've observed happening in these young people's lives. And so we'll be pouring water tonight. We don't immerse. We're not saying we're adverse to immersion, but we are pouring tonight. And that has been our normal mode of baptism, is pouring water. And there is nothing special about that. It's just a symbol. The Holy Spirit has entered into you at your new birth. And if you are still willing and ready to receive baptism, I'm going to invite you to come forward and we will go through the baptismal ordinance. You can come forward. Yeah, we'll have to move forward just a little bit. We got this plant back here that's going to give us problems. So there is going to be four questions that I will ask them, and they will give an affirmative to those four questions. And then after those first four questions, I will ask them to kneel, and then we will go through three questions. And after those three questions, I'll have the congregation stand, and then we'll have a time of prayer before we actually pour the water, okay? So these are the first four questions that I'm gonna ask you. Question number one, and I'd just like for you to, in succession, answer yes or I do, except for the second one, you have to repeat then the phrase. Question number one, do you believe in the one true, eternal, and almighty God, who is the creator and preserver of all things visible and invisible?
Yes.
Question number two, do you believe and confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
Yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Question number three, do you believe and confess that Jesus Christ is the only Savior of mankind, that he died on the cross and shed his blood to save us from all sin? Question number four. Do you also believe and confess the Holy Spirit as the third person of the Godhead who proceeds forth from the Father and the Son, that he is the abiding comforter who sanctifies the hearts of all believers and guides us into all truth?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
This time I'm going to ask you to kneel. To all of you, are you truly sorry for your past sins, and do you now renounce Satan, the world, and all the works of darkness, including your own carnal will and sinful desires? Do you promise by the grace of God and the aid of the Holy Spirit to totally submit yourself to Christ, to his word, and continue faithfully therein until death? By the grace of God, are you willing to pledge your loyal support to the church, to its standards and guiding principles, and cooperate with the Brotherhood of the Sandy Ridge as long as you remain a member here?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Okay, at this time, I'm going to ask the congregation to stand, and we'll have a time of prayer. We're going to ask each one of the fathers of these applicants to pray. So, Brent, and then Vance, and then Kendall, and then I will... Then I will close that. Brother Brent.
Thank you, Father, for the testimony of these young people. And thank you, Father, for the testimony of Benson. I pray, Father, a blessing on his life as he goes from here. Lord, I pray that you would direct him. I pray that your Holy Spirit would be over him as he faces the questions and the decisions of life. I pray for direction, and I pray that you would be open to your Spirit's leading. Father God, I just pray that you would help him always to be sensitive to the work that you're doing in him and guide him in truth. I pray this in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Father, for this special moment with these four young people. And tonight, I lift up Aaliyah to you. Lord, we are grateful for her choice to yield her life to you, to believe in Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you would continue the work you've begun in her. And as she makes this public expression of faith, Lord, I pray that you would anchor it in her heart and her soul. And I pray, Lord, that from this time on, her heart would be bent towards you. I keep her heart soft before you. And I pray, Lord, that she could be a blessing to this body, this church as well. And I ask you, Lord, to guide her future as she walks with you.
Lord, what an honor to represent you in your kingdom here on this earth. Lord, I pray that you would just be with each of these youth. I pray a special blessing to Vanessa, that she would be faithful in following you, and that she would seek you with her whole heart, and that she would be sensitive to your Spirit speaking in her life. Lord, I pray that she would pursue you in all that she does. And Lord, thank you that you are a faithful Father, and that you will always guide and direct her life. And Lord, I just pray a blessing on her life, that she may be fruitful in your kingdom here on earth. I pray this in Christ's name.
Father in heaven, we just echo the scripture where it talks about when our children make choices to follow you, and how it brings joy to the parents' hearts. And we're so grateful for Connor's decision to commit himself to following you. And I pray, God, that as he moves from this evening into the rest of his life, that he would be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, that he would honor you with his life, with his words and his actions. Pray for all of them. Pray for Benson, for Aaliyah, and for Vanessa, as they make these vows and these commitments before you and before the church, that you would strengthen them in their inner man, that their spirit would connect with your spirit and would grow mightily for you. So we commit them to you now, especially and specifically as we move into baptizing them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to invite our deacon, Brother Ken Miller, to come forward, and he's going to assist me in baptizing each one of them. Brother Connor, upon the confession that you've made before God and these witnesses, I now baptize you with water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Brother Benson, upon the confession that you've made before God and these witnesses, I baptize you with water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Sister Aaliyah, upon the confession that you have made before God and these witnesses, I baptize you with water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Sister Vanessa, upon the confession that you have made before God and these witnesses, I baptize you with water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm going to invite my wife to come forward, and we're going to extend the right hand of fellowship. Brother Connor, I extend you the right hand of fellowship. Welcome to Sandy Ridge. May God bless you. Brother Benson, I extend to you the right hand of fellowship. Bless you. Welcome to Sandy Ridge. Sister Aaliyah, I extend to you the right hand of fellowship. Sister Vanessa, I extend to you the right hand of fellowship. Welcome to Sandy Ridge. You may be seated. God bless you, all of you, in your commitment to the Lord. This is not an end. This is a beginning. And this is where you now begin to give yourself more fully to the Lord in your own personal life, but also in the life of the church. This is where you now allow yourself to be accountable to your brothers and sisters here at Sandy Ridge. It's also where you now begin to hold other people accountable, other brothers and sisters in Sandy Ridge accountable. It's now where you develop your giftings and your abilities here in the brotherhood, specifically here. And so it's a beginning, and it's a journey. It's a process of life that doesn't end until we die. And it is where it's in the church where we do best in our Christian life. So welcome to Sandy Ridge. May God bless you in your journey with us. I encourage the congregation to be very, very quick to give encouragement to these young people. If you recall how it was when you were young and how easy it is to get sidetracked, walk with them in patience and in love and encourage them well, not just tonight, but next week next month, next year. After the service, we'll have snacks. But before that, we'd like to have a form a line to for anyone that wants to come up and give them encouragement. I think the ushers will figure out how that will be, but probably coming up the side aisle and yeah, come up the center aisle, and then they go out the side aisle. So just follow the usher's cue. We'll probably let the families do that first, but there will be a line for giving them encouragement, okay? So you'll want to step forward past that wall so people can greet you. At this time, we'll have a verse of song led by our song leader, and then Brother Delwyn Slabaugh, which is Benson's uncle from Traverse Bay, Michigan, will be preaching the message for us tonight. And after he's finished, Brother Ken will close the service. So Johnny, if you would lead us in a verse of song, and then Brother Delwyn, after the song, you can come forward and preach.
Extend Christian greetings to each of you in the precious name of Jesus. This certainly is a privilege to be here with you this evening. It's especially good to be here. It's a special service. But for me to be here to witness this is quite special. The reason why is I consider these four youth that were baptized and who their parents are. My brother Brent and his wife Janelle and cousin Lyle, his wife Cammie, and then friends from UCS. And from church many years ago, Vance and Amel and Kendall and Glendora. And it's so encouraging when you see people who have been faithful. And then we see the next generation embracing truth. I reflected back to the day I was baptized. There were four boys in that baptismal class. It was on October 9th, 1994. And I didn't remember much about that day. I didn't even remember who preached the message, except for the fact that there was a bulletin that was saved from that day that I think my mother probably saved for me. And I saw that Grandfather Homer was actually the one who preached the sermon that day, but I don't remember a whole lot about it. But that was 30 years ago this coming fall. 30 years ago. It's hard to believe it's been that long, but God has been faithful these past 30 years, and what a blessing it is to be here. And I just want that to be an encouragement to you four here. God will always, always be faithful. Sometimes things can look rather we can maybe despair at the world and despair at maybe the direction that we see things. But God is always faithful. He always will be. Amen. The title of the message this evening comes from the lips of our Savior. After he had healed the man with leprosy, what did he say? He said, "Show thyself to the priest." Now, this evening, I didn't see any priests here. But I did see a group of believers here. And these four youth came and they said, "We desire to be baptized." And we had a baptism ceremony. Show thyself to the priest. I was thinking about, what does it mean? What does baptism mean? I thought of how it's a point of identity of who I now am. I went from this to this. It's a point of identity. And so that's kind of where my thoughts are going, if you can follow that this evening. We move from identifying with the world to identifying with Christ. And we know that baptism typifies the remission of sins, as Lyle already spoke about that. So in other words, baptism, water baptism, is a ceremony that we're commanded to do because of something that has previously taken place. I also considered how differently the service would feel this evening if it was being held around 500 years ago. To be an Anabaptist identified you. It placed a mark on you, and you became a target. A target to suffer for the cause of Christ. To be baptized, therefore, meant that you were willing to die for Christ. So again, being baptized identifies you with the cross of Jesus Christ. And I want that to be the emphasis this evening. We're going to look at the story of the man who had leprosy and how he received healing from Christ. As we all know, leprosy, if you had leprosy, you were identified as being unclean. In the case of the leper that Jesus healed, in that story, we'll turn to it then. Christ commanded, after he had cleansed the leper, he said, "Go show yourself to the priest and offer for his cleansing the sacrifices which were to be made under the law." But why did Jesus command him to do that? Hadn't he already cleansed him? Why did he need to go show himself to the priest? And we could say tonight, weren't these four already cleansed? Why do they need to come and be baptized? Show thyself to the priest. It was a command that was given by Christ. And we are also commanded to baptize. And like Lyle said, at Pentecost, when the people, or Peter preached that message, the people were convicted. And they said, what shall we do? What shall we do? And he said, repent and be baptized. And so we find that baptism is a simple act of obedience. And so that's why we're here this evening. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Mark chapter 1. And I'd like to read that story. Mark chapter 1. Verse 40 through 45. Mark 1, verse 40. "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straitly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. This evening, I see four lepers sitting here. Benson, Connor, Aaliyah, and Vanessa. These four youth have acknowledged that they were plagued with the leprosy of sin. And I wished I was here to hear their testimony this morning. But it was the realization of this terrible condition that they found themselves in that brought them to their knees before the Master. And in this desperate condition, each of them cried out to the only one who could heal them. And they said, If you're willing, Lord, please, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus had compassion on them. And he reached out, and he touched them. He said, I'm willing, be thou clean. So to you four this evening, I have 4 points. I want to lift out of this passage here and apply it to you. And they're easy to remember. They all begin with the letter C. We see one man's condition. We see the other man's compassion. We see one man's cleansing. And we see the other man's command. So we have the condition, the compassion, the cleansing, and the command. So number one, the condition. The condition of the man before he was healed was that he had leprosy. Leprosy, as we all know, was an ugly disease that literally ate away on the human body. It was a condition without remedy, a helpless, hopeless, horrifying condition to be in. I was reading a book by a Mennonite man by the name of Jacob Ressler. He was a missionary in India in the late 1800s to 1900s, in that time frame. And he described in that book, he describes a lady who had leprosy in an advanced stage. And in the midst of her afflictions, she found peace with Christ Jesus. But in this story, he described leprosy as he saw it, as he perceived it, and this is what he said. In its most common form, it attacks the entire body, but is mainly manifest in the extremities. The ends of the fingers and toes become sore, the nails drop off, and gradually the fingers and toes are eaten away by the disease. Under proper conditions of cleanliness, the sores often heal, and there is an appearance of an amputated limb, but there is no remedy known for the cure of the disease. The leper knows that he is doomed to die slowly, very slowly, not by inches, but by minute fractions of an inch. Often the disease breaks out in the eyes and nose, and sometimes even the ears are eaten away. The condition of leprosy was a truly horrible condition to be in. And like I mentioned before, when you were a leper, you were banished from society and you were labeled as unclean. So a leper's restoration back to good health was always miraculous. It didn't just happen on its own. It was a miracle. There was no human remedy to cure the disease. If a leper was indeed healed, it was always regarded as a divine healing. For there was no herbal remedy or therapeutic measure prescribed to these people. We have the example of Miriam. Remember that story in the Old Testament? When Miriam says she turned white as snow. And Moses cried out to the Lord for his sister. And the Lord healed her. It was divine healing that healed her. Having leprosy was a hopeless physical condition to be in. But friends, this evening, these four youth here found themselves in a far worse spiritual condition than leprosy. And that's the disease of sin. The leprosy of sin. A disease that slowly eats away on our souls, an inch by inch. Being sinful means we are doomed to die. And this isn't new to us. We know this, right? Being plagued with sin is a truly awful condition. But I'm encouraged with the words of the Apostle Paul. In 1 Corinthians 6, he said, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus." And that is a blessing that we have the privilege of being washed in the blood of the Lamb. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 6. Let's just read that scripture. First Corinthians chapter 6. I'm not going to read the verses prior to this. This is 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11. But the verses prior to this, Paul lists sins. It's a whole list of sins there. And then we come to verse 11. And this is a verse that you should highlight in your Bibles. We come to verse 11. And he says, "And such were some of you." And tonight we could say, "And such were these four youth that are sitting here tonight. Such were these four youth, full of the leprosy of sin. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And it is because of the divine healing of the Master that we are here this evening." Going back to Mark chapter 1, number 2, the compassion. We've looked at the condition of one man. Let us now look at the compassion of the other. Why was Jesus moved with compassion? Jesus was moved with compassion because the leper had faith that Jesus could heal him. This man never questioned Christ's power or his ability to heal. He never questioned it, only his willingness if he would heal him. And it was upon the confession of this man's faith that he was healed. And that stood out to me. It was upon the confession of his faith. And this evening, it was upon the confession of their faith that you were baptized. What can we expect when we come to Christ in faith, believing? What can you expect? Christ is moved with compassion. Christ is moved with compassion. Turn with me to Titus chapter 3. It's interesting what Matthew Henry says, and I like this. He said, "Our misery makes us the objects of his mercy. And so we think of the miserableness of sin that we find ourselves in, and Christ sees that. Our misery makes us the objects of his mercy. Just want to read a few verses here in Titus chapter 3, 3 through 6, to remind ourselves. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And we look there at verse 4. It speaks to us of the compassion and love of God, our Savior. I think it's very significant that Jesus touched the leper. You weren't supposed to touch a leper. They were unclean, but Jesus touched the leper. And Jesus, out of his compassion, has touched these four youth, so to speak, this evening. Psalm 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities and who healeth all thy diseases." And tonight, we sang Blessed Assurance. You can be assured that you are healed. Number three, the cleansing. So when was the leper cleansed? The leper was cleansed when Jesus touched him and he said, "I will, be thou clean," and he was cleansed. The leper came to Jesus worshiping him and asking him for healing. And you will note that he said, "If thou wilt." That's what the leper said. This leper came to Christ not on his own terms, but in full surrender to the will of Christ. And that's how you and I come to Christ. We don't come to Christ on our terms, but we come to him on his terms. King David, in Psalm 51, cried out to God and said, "Wash me thoroughly for my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." So in order for spiritual cleansing to take place, you must acknowledge that you were unclean, and that's exactly what has happened tonight. They have acknowledged that they were unclean. This leper understood very well that he was unclean. There was only one remedy, and that was the healing touch of the Master. So again, we could ask this evening, when were these four youth cleansed? Was it tonight? Was it when they were standing up here? Is that when they were clean? Their cleansing happened before tonight. Their cleansing happened when they acknowledged their sin and they confessed that. And the blood of Christ was applied to their life. That's the only remedy for cleansing. And I like the picture that we get in the story of the crucifixion. Remember that story where the soldier took his spear. And it said he took his spear and he put it in the side of Christ. And it says, scriptures say, "And forthwith there came out blood and water." And tonight, before they came, the blood was applied. And this evening, they were baptized with water. Point number four, the command. So we find in verse 44, after the initial cleansing, that Jesus gave the leper a command. And he said, "Go thy way. Show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded. And we could go into the look there in Leviticus as what all that meant. It's really interesting. You know, they would take they had two birds, and they they would kill the one bird, and the blood would drip from that bird into this vessel they had with water, and it just all the rituals they went through there. And then they would take the live bird and they dip it in the bloody water, and they had cedar wood and hyssop, and then they'd release that bird and they'd sprinkle the back of the hand. But it is just a ritual that they went through. We're not going to look at that. But why did Jesus tell him to go do that? Jesus had already cleansed him, right? So Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. Wasn't he healed already? And yes, he was already clean and made whole. It was an Old Testament law. It was given for the purpose of identifying this man. Someone who was once unclean is now identified as clean. And that's exactly what happened tonight. These four youth were once unclean, and tonight they're identified as clean. They're washed. They are clean. It's an identity from this is who I was, but this is who I now am. The points of identity for you for baptism are this. You identify as being made clean. You identify as being a follower of Jesus Christ. And you identify as being in fellowship with other believers. That's what you identify with this evening by this ceremony. And I just want to encourage you to be in one with the congregation here. And I believe with all my heart that is your intent. You're not an island on your own. You are no more without, you are within. Worship with others who are clean. In closing, I want to read a few verses from Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 8. And what I want to point out here is that in these verses, three times we find the words with him. And so we're thinking about identity, thinking about who your identity is. You identify with him. So let's read this. Romans 6, verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. By baptism, we identify with him. And we could say that there is a transfer of identity again from who I was to who I am. And let me tell you, who I was is not a pretty picture. Who I was filled with self-infatuation. But who I am is now a life that's filled with Christ. and who I was sought to impress others. But who I am finds affirmation from God. And who I was held a secret self-image. But who I am bears the image of the heavenly. And to you four youth this evening, I would just like to say to you, I feel like it has taken me many years to understand what it really means to identify with Him. And He's still teaching me. Graciously, Christ still continues to teach me, and He will do that for you. So this is what I want you to remember. Wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever you work, whatever you watch, whatever you eat, whatever your hand finds to do, in all those things, you represent Christ. For you have identified with Him. For you are not your own, therefore glorify Christ in your body, for you are bought with a price. You're going to face many choices in life, but let this be your guiding principle and thought as you face those pressures in life, that if Jesus were in my shoes, what would He do? And when you apply that principle, your path will become very clear, for you have identified with Christ. May God richly bless you.